Jack, how involved do you get in the whole draft thing? Obviously, the coach and the team part probably takes a lot of your time, but how involved are you in this process, and how involved will you be on the 3 days?
Can you get him out of my office?
we're involved. Reggie's been great about being inclusive and watching the process. It's, you know, the coaching evaluation is one aspect of it. Our guys have worked very hard, and their input has, you know, has been taken into consideration, you know, along with all the work that the scouts do, you know, year round in terms of gathering background information and getting a feel for the players. So it's just one piece of, you know, of the big process of going through these guys and evaluating them.
Coach, you talked a little bit yesterday about utilizing the mini camp as part of your assessment. How much did you see over the last 3 days that is going to go into the draft evaluation and the overall roster evaluation? Can you talk a little bit about that process?
Well, you know, spoke a little bit yesterday afternoon after the practice about the fact that we would want to utilize, you know, go through the tape and go through the 3 days and review that, and that's just another piece of information about our own roster. So the first order of business when we got here was to evaluate our roster and know our guys first. And so we're just getting to know our guys better, you know, being able to get, you know, all of the veterans here and having everybody participate like they did. It was a great body of work for us to, you know, go through as a staff. And you know, we make sure we all evaluate that information. We have that in order before we go to the draft. So it's just another piece of it, and it's you know, you get your look prior to the mini camp and your thoughts on how it might be, and then you get your looks coming out of the mini camp and how maybe some of those perceptions were either raised or lowered.
All right, Reggie, what positions do you think the draft is deepest in? Did that affect at all what needs you wanted to fill in free agency? Does that part of the plan as far as looking at what's out there?
Whether the draft is deep at whatever position, it really doesn't matter. We just kind of focus on the players and in relation to our team. You're not going to get a whole lot of information from me as far as who do I like or where do we think, you know, a lot of the players are. But I will say this, we're doing our work to make sure that we cover all positions, and we got them covered. And we're having great conversation with scouts and coaches, try to get our board set the way we need to, and hopefully come next weekend, we add some really good players to our roster.
So I don't know exactly what you'll give me here, but how important, though, is it to address the need at wide receiver maybe in the earlier rounds, not saying which round, but just the earlier rounds?
To answer your question, you're exactly right. You're not going to get anything. I appreciate the question.
Jack, obviously a lot of people have speculated that you guys are going to go after a receiver with that first pick, but there's a chance that Leonard Williams could be available when you guys go on the clock. What's your evaluation of him, and what are the things that you like about him?
Well, you know, again, you know, it's difficult to have this kind of press conference because you guys all want the information, and it's not our job to prepare other people around the league for the draft. You know, it's we're collecting information and making judgments and opinions, and then having that information and wanting to keep that very much in house. So that's, you know, I know you'd like to hear specifics about different people, but it's really, you know, I don't feel inclined to share with the league how I feel about different candidates or different prospects. So, you know, we're being very thorough going through the board, looking at all the different positions and looking how they, you know, would impact us and how they fit and how we rank them, just, you know, how they are as players. And so that's all part of it. You know, we'll go through that. And certainly, you know, sitting at number four, you know that you're looking at some of the very, you know, the best players. I mean, it's when you're sitting at the top, you've got a chance to, you know, make sure you acquire a real good football player.
Reggie, how does what you guys have done in free agency alter what you do in the draft in any way?
It's not going to alter what we do in the draft. But what it does is just help our team. You know, we felt like we improved our football team. And that's what we was wanting to do, you know. Upgrade this football team through free agency and the draft, you know. And we would do it post-free agency and post-draft, you know. We've been trying to upgrade our team throughout, and we will continue to do that. So it really doesn't tell us what we're going to do during the draft.
Rich, there's been a lot of talk about Marcus Mariota being somebody that people want, that would go up to get. You already have your quarterback, so in theory you wouldn't have to worry about that. But would you expect to the first four positions to be the same on draft day, or do you think there's going to be a change in the order? Guess?
The thing about it with this draft, you never know. You know, any possibility of the trade when the talk is so much on a couple of players, it's hard to figure that part out. That's what makes the draft what it is, and that's why everybody's excited and trying to figure it out, because you never know.
To follow up, I'm sure you've mapped out every single scenario you could possibly imagine. I guess maybe you do that every year, but this year, is it even seem more so because of the Mariota factor, or is it just the same as it always is?
It really is the same. It's just so much talk in the media about what's going on, who wants this player, who wants that. So all these trade scenarios. But we're just – our phone lines will always be open, and we just focus on our draft board, and whatever happens on draft day happens. You know, we still have the fourth pick, and we're just sitting – wait and see what happens. I mean, we don't worry ourselves with, you know, who's going to number one or two, unless we want to move up. That's all.
Reggie, to add to that, can you just describe the tough task that you guys do have with the number four pick and just how vital it is to hit a home run with this pick?
Well, I mean, we just want to get it right. We want to get the player that we feel that can best help our team. And that's what we're going to do. Whether it's pressure or not, it's, you know, I want to hit on my seventh round pick too. So no more pressure than the other.
Just to kind of go off of what Jerry was talking about in terms of Marcus Mariota, would it benefit the Oakland Raiders to have him picked higher because you guys don't need a quarterback, so it pushes every other non-quarterback down? Would that be beneficial to you guys if he goes higher?
You know, we would like for all the players, when we're ready to pick, we want our player there. You know, it really doesn't matter who goes before our pick, long as it's not the player we want, you know. Marcus or anyone else.
When it comes to all the evaluation that goes into the draft, all the information that's available, you now have a regional combine where some players are invited to that aren't invited to the big combine in Indianapolis. How difficult is the evaluation process, top to bottom, for the entire draft when you have all of this information? And this part of the question, Coach Del Rio, is more for you. What is important to you in evaluating a player? Is it their college production? Is it the measurables at a combine or a pro day? Or is it the entire body of work that you see on a player?
Yeah, I think it's all a part of the process. You know, if you think about all of the different things that are looked at and considered in preparing for the draft and to make a selection. You know, the measurables are one piece. The college film is one piece. Live exposure, watching them interact with their teammates, is one piece. Background checks, you know, is another piece. You know, there are so many different factors. Their health is obviously a big piece. That's one of the main reasons you have the combine to collect, you know, the medical data on some of these prospects. So, you know, it's play history is obviously a big part of it, what guys have done. You know, productive guys tend to remain productive guys. And so, you know, you're looking at all of that as you're putting together your board. And, you know, so it's a very thorough process. I wouldn't say there's any one part that's more important than the other. I think it's all part of how you look at and how you put together your evaluation and your final grade on a guy before he gets placed on the board.
Yeah. Let me make a stab at it. I understand we don't want to talk specifics. I understand that. But, you know, every football team wants to have players that play the way the coach wants to play football. Jack, do you have a sense yet from what you've seen, like what percentage of guys on the roster right now are you at in terms of the way you want to play football? And how much do you need from the draft to help you get there? Is that a fair question?
Yeah, I understand where you're going with that. I would say that, you know, as coaches, we're never really happy or never really satisfied that it's all there. I feel like there's always something you can correct, always something that you can strive for or demand. And so in terms of the mentality that we want to, you know, play with, that's – we're just beginning that process, so the percentage of where we are is pretty low in terms of where we're going to be and where we are right now with the mentality that we're performing with on a daily basis. But that's part of the process of building the team. You know, that's part of the process of building the mentality. It is a day in and day out. It's a consistency that we're looking for, and that takes time.
I was talking more about maybe about talent or the qualities you want in the players.
Right. Yeah, well, we made some strides in improving the roster, and I said when I first got here, three months ago, I think now, mm-hmm. that you know, the cupboard's not bare. I mean, I think you know we had an excellent draft last year. You know, we want to have an excellent draft this year going forward, and continue to add to the nucleus of talent that we have here, and developing the players that are here is important. Developing the players that come in here is important. So, you know, what percentage? I mean, I'm not going to get into percentage of, you know, how many guys fit exactly what I'm looking for at their respective positions. I mean, you know, we're not going to get into that. But we are working hard to make this roster competitive and to make sure when we go into training camp that, you know, that we have a chance to build a football team with true competition at several spots.
I know you've hit on some needs the last few months. Do you both think there's still a need at pass rusher?
Yes. We're going to upgrade not only pass rusher, offensive line, D-line. Any chance we get to upgrade our team, regardless of position, we're going to do it. You know, I know you guys want us to get this position or that position. We would try to get the best player that we can in each and one of those picks. And, you know, we don't want to just throw out information of what we need, but there's some good players in this draft, and we will get some of those guys.
Reggie, with some of the focus on off-field issues around players around the league, are you placing more emphasis on character stuff, or is it pretty similar to what you've done in the past? How's that changed?
It hadn't changed. I mean, I said going in, we were going to focus a lot on bringing quality guys in here, and we're going to continue that. Yeah, and the league is stepping in pretty strong, so it's good to see. But yeah, we've held that standard, and we're going to continue to do that.
Jack, you've been through drafts with like Baltimore, Carolina, Jacksonville, Denver. I imagine each team has little subtle differences in how they go about arriving at a pick. Any observations on how Raiders may do things differently, what you like about it, what the process has been like compared to where you've been before? I mean, not being critical of their teams, just maybe differences or subtleties or.
No, I think the one thing I would offer up on that subject would be that I think the importance, in my opinion, is the inclusiveness to validate and to value the work that's done by the scouts and by the coaches that do a great job of digging and researching and calling around and watching tape and just spending time, you know, trying to help us determine, you know, where a player belongs, you know, at his for a rank on our board. And I think Reggie does a great job of being inclusive and gathering information that way. I think that's where it starts.
Reggie, you've been through this several times now. Are there any lessons that you can quantify that you've sort of learned over the years going through this process that you can say, well, you know, we're better at this now than we were 5 years ago, or we have more kind of experience and information to go on than we used to have?
Well, the experience of our scouting department being together, you know. This is the third year that we've been together doing this. So it would get better with each year with that. Just a better feel for each other. And that grows, you know, the more you're around each other, then it's second nature of how each other feel about players. So it will get nothing but stronger that way.
Reggie, last year you had almost the entire draft class contribute and play a lot of football last season. In your experience, is that rare, or is that something you hope for every year, that, you know, you have seven picks that five, six, seven of them contribute immediately and as much as the guys did last year?
I mean, we always hope that you get some productive players, but year one is not the only evaluation. You want those guys to be continuously productive. So looking at guys' rookie seasons is a good initial evaluation, but you want to see how they continue to be consistent year in and year out. That's true evaluation. You know, we have a tendency to try to figure out instantly what a player is. I think you got to let these guys have a couple years under their belt and see what they truly are. But we were excited and happy that they were productive, but we're expecting more.
We're just talking generally here in terms of draft day trades. Do you enter draft day thinking that you might want to move a pick, and then how much of it actually happens maybe when other teams are on the clock, just in terms of procedure, how do those things kind of
We go down? Through all those scenarios,
yeah.
Absolutely. And that's not just with pick one. It's all the way down the line. Different scenarios of whether you move up or back. But it all depends on the board at that point.
Yeah, I'd be interested, each of you guys, each of you have a favorite draft day story from your past? Either as a player or executive, like when you sit around and telling, like, yeah, I remember this draft day when this happened. Do you have a story like that that you can share, both of you guys?
That we can share. That's the key.
Well, the key. I mean, this is in the past. We're not talking about this year, right?
Yeah. There's quite a few stories.
What's the best one?
I knew that was coming. Let me get back to you on that one. Don't know if I want to let stories out sometimes. Well, you know, but that's the fun part of the story, you know. When players or the particular scout or coach, but you kind of like to keep that private, really, not to put it out there. So I'm going to leave it alone unless let Jack see if he has one that he can share.
Oh, my favorite memory is beating Rex Ryan. He and I in Baltimore would sit there, and I was Kuiper and he was Bushbaum, and we would sit there and do our own draft predictions. You know, sitting there throughout the day, and Rex, you came in second that day, so we'd have fun with it that way. As young assistants.
Was there a player that, like, you liked that he didn't, that you ended up beating him on that
Not a specific player. Not a specific player that I could give you that tilted it. I think it was a pretty substantial victory, if I'm not mistaken.
Reggie, and kind of following up Scott's question about the trades. I know you said your phone lines are open, but in the past you've been hesitant, reticent to trade your draft picks. Where you guys are in your process of rebuilding the team and wanting to get an impact player, how married are you to that fourth pick? Would it have to be a magnanimous offer from another team to trade out of it? Or are you really open to moving down and acquiring maybe extra picks?
Like I said, I'm always open, but it has to be the right deal. And the player, it always depends on the player who's there at your pick. So there's a lot of factors that factor into that. But, yes, the phone line is always open. You hear everybody out. And if it makes sense, you know, if it's going to help the Raiders, we'll do a deal.
Have you already gotten phone calls from other teams inquiring about the pick?
Yes.
Last year's draft obviously was pretty deep at receiver, special class. Is this year's class at all comparable, you think, to last year's in terms of the receiver position?
You talking to me?
I'm sure
they're
the ones to answer.
So. Yeah, that's why I was asking. You asking me? You know, Jack explained it, guys. We're not going to just throw out information. That's a little too close to what we're trying to get accomplished here next week.
Reggie, you asked somebody if you had the number one pick, and of course the first response is we're glad we don't have the number one pick because you don't want to finish last. But would if you either of you guys you think the Mariota Jameis Winston bit, the fact that one they're going to go 1-2, is that a fair justification as you see these people? You're not going to draft them, obviously. You think those are the players that ought to go 1-2?
I'm gonna leave that one alone too. You know, those 1-2, that's Tampa Bay, you know, and Tennessee. They got those picks. I'm gonna let those guys make decisions on who goes 1-2. I'm worried about who goes 4.
Time for two more guys.
Okay. Still working on my trade story here, but when it comes to trading up and having to sacrifice other picks. Is that a spot where you have to be extremely confident in the guy that, I mean, you're always going to be extremely confident, but to weigh out the possibility of getting other guys, how sure do you have to be to try to trade up and sacrifice what could be good players down the line?
If you're trading up,
yeah.
Yes. I mean, you have to have a gut feel. I mean, if a team feel like that player will help them, I mean, you do it, you know. That's your gut. Whether it happens or not, when you trade, if that guy's available or not, you feel like doing the deal, you do the deal. It's not a question in my mind. If I want to trade up and get a player, I'm doing it for a purpose. And so I would think any team that want to do that, that's their gut call.
I would just say there are different ways of doing it, right? I mean, some teams will draft up for a specific player, but we'll trade up for a specific player, but we'll trade back to get into a clump of players. So, I mean, you know, you have to feel good about where your landing spot would be if you do go back. So there's a lot that goes into the trade element, and that's obviously a very exciting part of draft day is when some of these different trades come up and everybody's trying to analyze them. At the end of the day, you know, both sides have to feel good about what they're acquiring.
From the time that you guys played to now and as you've grown up as executive and coach, are you surprised by how much of an entertainment spectacle that the draft has become? You talked about doing draft predictions. Now everybody has a mock draft. And sure. This has become big entertainment for the fans. Is there anything you can speak to as far as the spectacle the draft has become?
I'll tell you, for me, it's, I mean, it's become unreal. I mean, this thing is, it's huge for the NFL. And to take this to Chicago, and I mean, this is the biggest event for a draft. It's huge. I can't even imagine being a player now. You know, it's night and day from when I came out, when we came out.
It's unbelievable. It's become such an event. I mean, it's an event. And, you know, the combine has become an event. And that kind of begins the process of, you know, leading up to who's going to get drafted where. And so, no, it's a great story. Clearly, you know, the public eats it up and loves it and is very interested in knowing exactly, you know, what we're going to do and trying to predict what we might do and everybody else around the league. So that makes for good theater.
Last question for Mark.
Yeah, this involves, you know, like your interviews with players. You know, last year the 49ers had this situation where they drafted a guy who was a great rookie, and then he decided he wasn't going to play anymore because of the concussion stuff. Does that sort of thing, as well as the character issues you spoke about earlier, does that change the way you question players over the years when you do interviews? Do you bring that sort of stuff up now? Do you, because that's kind of the, you know, a weird thing about this. You know, could you address that?
Again, when you interview players, people around them, you get as much information as you can. I mean, it doesn't alter the questions. You know, you just make sure you're asking all the right questions. I'm sure he didn't tell anyone in the interview that, well, I'm thinking about playing 1 year. You know, that's just not how it works. You know, they're going to tell you kind of what you want to hear. And you watch the way that kid played. He played like he loved football. You know, it's no knock on San Francisco. I mean, that was his decision that he made when something happened to him. He felt like that was the right decision for him. So when that happens, you know, that's just the way it goes. Well, you make sure you're thorough, you know, and most teams, they are that way. As far as obtaining background information and the injuries that he's had in the past, it's there, you know. That's how you look at it and delve into it. But it's not easy to be right all the time in that way, you know, especially when you're talking about a medical issue that is hard.
I'm not sure you'll ever be able to predict how a human being is going to respond or react, and that's one of the things that makes the draft unique. As scientific as we try to make it, you're still dealing with human beings and what motivations they have, where they are in their life, how mature they are. Some guys that had problems in their college years, they grow up and they mature and they become great, great people, great citizens and great husbands and great players. And some don't. Some that were very clean the whole time in college and had no issues at all of a sudden they, you know, they make some bad decisions. So we're still talking about human beings. Yeah. We're very thorough in what we're doing, collecting information, and then you make decisions, and you know that anytime you're dealing with human beings, there's a margin for error that's has to be understood.